Fear God and Give Glory to Him. Commentary for the April 22, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. It is hard to reconcile the dissonance between Jesus, the gentle shepherd, and a vengeful return with fire and blood, where everyone who ignored Jesus is going to get pulverized in revenge. It is harder still to understand how John, the disciple often referred to as the beloved, and who wrote that God is love and perfect love drives out fear, could also tell us to be afraid of God. Some, like Martin Luther, felt this was because someone else wrote Revelation, so he originally did not want to include it in the German translation of the Bible. Others have been willing to attribute this to the fuzziness that can occur with translation when words and phrases cannot be translated literally. For instance, we can love a sandwich, love our sibling, or love our spouse. While we use the same verb in each case, we know from our cultural experience that each carries different rights and expectations. Those in other cultures may find this ambiguous or even silly when talking about loving food. This is because they have more precise verbs for describing the attraction between the speaker and the object they are attracted to. This situation also happens in reverse. The Greek that our New Testament is translated from used the word fear in a more ambiguous sense that was also understood in their cultural context. We try to understand the implications of that context when we translate the word as fear, reverence, respect, or submit. However, each of those brings with it the cultural baggage of the receiving culture. For instance, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he used the same word in Ephesians 5, verse 33, that translators render as fear in Revelation 14, 7. Are wives to live in terror of their husbands? That is one possible translation of the Greek. It is the same word we get our word phobia from. Most would question whether that could be a happy marriage. But even using a less dynamic word, such as submit, while still possible from the Greek, is also problematic, for it places an emphasis on an imagined disparity in status between husband and wife. In most places on earth, women were not seen as attaining any sort of equality with men until the 20th century, and even today, the struggle for equality continues. Words such as fear and submit in the translations of the letter to the Ephesians certainly have not helped correct that narrative. Notably, the King James Version says wives should reverence their husbands. While this is an improvement, it still implies a worshipful attitude, which can be abused. I prefer the word respect as the word when used by Paul in Romans 13:7 is translated in the New International Version. This same word is translated as fear in the King James Version, even though it was toned down in Ephesians. The problems created by such inconsistencies, even within a single translation, highlight the difficulties when dealing with the simple phrase, fear God. Are we to cringe in abject terror before a vengeful God? When we read the mythologies of ancient Greece and Rome, it is easy to see how those stories could have influenced the understood character of God. When members of those pantheons felt the least slight from humanity, their ire quickly reached a boiling point, and death of the offender was often the result, even if the slight was unintentional. They were like bullies walking around with a chip on their shoulder, daring some gullible human being to knock it off. Almost 50 years ago, one of my theology professors told me that he felt that these pagan deities were real and were the fallen angels that Revelation tells us were cast from heaven. If humanity has been offered the opportunity to take their places in heaven, that would explain their bitterness and anger toward the human race. It also explains their willingness to misrepresent the character of God by their example. Could their fear of such vengeful gods have been used as a tool by some Christians to maneuver them towards God? It would not be the first time that fear was used as a tool of manipulation by religion, and certainly hasn't been the last time. This highlights the problem in the text of the first angel's message in Revelation 14. We're told that he is proclaiming the gospel, which is simply an older English word for good news or good speak. How can a message to fear be good news? Perhaps a better translation would have been respect, reverence, or even honor. This would be more in harmony with the idea of worship. This appeal is made based on his beneficence as creator of all. Worship is born of gratitude, not fear. When I look up at the Milky Way spread across the night sky, it is not fear I feel, but awe and even love of God who created such beauty. As David wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words, no sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world." When I see the daily beauty of creation, I see a mirror reflecting the beauty of the image of the one who made it. We can imagine Adam in the Garden of Eden, as God brought each animal to him to see what he would call it, and them enjoying one another's company in the process. While the story may be metaphorical, such touches are revelatory about the character of God. That character does not come across as someone watching for every opportunity to inflict pain and punishment. This was God who walked with Adam and Eve in that garden and was brokenhearted when instead of welcoming him, they hid. Anyone who has experienced betrayal knows how deep that pain can cut. But even that betrayal shows the closeness of the relationship between God and humanity. For only a friend can betray the relationship. Enemies have no friendship to betray. The closeness of God's relationship to humanity was also revealed when Jesus wept over the death of Lazarus. He felt keenly the pain of that separation, just as keenly as the pain when Adam and Eve betrayed their relationship with God. This is a God who, through the cross, offers us forgiveness for that betrayal that occurred so long ago. So many tears have flowed since then, tears shed by both God and humanity. Those tears represent repentance for all that has gone before and are earnest for baptism, a symbol of renewal, a reboot of life, a do-over. Despite all that has transpired, God proposes to us as a prospective bridegroom proposes to the one he loves. He is welcoming and embracing all who have said yes to his proposal. Is it reasonable to expect such treatment from one whom we have betrayed, not once, but consistently? Sadly, instead of meeting God hand in hand as Adam and Eve did in that long ago garden where they felt the warmth of his presence in their hearts, we try over and over again to fill that ancient emptiness with relationships with those who are just as empty as we are. God is the glue that fixes that brokenness and allows us to find wholeness in each other. When we bond to Him, we bond with one another. Then we can set aside our demands to be pleased in the relationship, and in respect and reverence with God's love as our light, we can each selflessly seek the honor of the other. Fear has no place in human relationships. Trust cannot exist where fear lives. Fear drives us to do those things we would not otherwise do. This is why those craving power find fear useful. They hope if they can make us fearful, we will accept their agenda and their lust for power. Even the church has succumbed to such threatenings when their relationship to God and His love has been neglected. Censure, defrocking, and disfellowshipping are all tools of fear-based religion. If we are honest, we can admit these are only milder forms of burning of heretics as done in ages past. The spirit is the same. There is a better path, and we are capable of it. To walk that road, we must be willing to eschew manipulation through fear and instead seek the reconciliation of love. We can start by not being offended on God's behalf. When we do, we imply that without our swift and harsh intervention, God will lose control. But God never loses control. Let us learn to love like He does, lest we damage the harvest and lose our own way as well. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with the scripture footnotes supporting the ideas in the podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more commentaries, podcasts, and articles at that website. Again, that's www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.